going to talk to a man who tonight is co-hosting the Conn Smythe Sports Celebrity Dinner along with his regular running mate, Jamie Campbell. That is, of course, Greg Zahn. Hello, Mr. Zahn.
Hello, Mr. Blair. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm looking forward to seeing you tonight. I trust that you have you will have a suitable you've picked a suitable wardrobe for the for the occasion.
Yeah, I wore it on Tim and Sid yesterday to give people that couldn't be there a little bit of a preview.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a mosaic of things.
A mosaic.
Colors, I should say. A mosaic of colors, mostly with a heavy navy blue and purple theme.
God, I can't imagine when you were a player. I can't imagine interviewing you and asking you about clothes when you were a player. Now you're a clothes horse. Now you're a fashion icon.
Fashionista, almost.
A fashionista.
It's kind of funny, too, because everybody thinks that this whole fashion thing started when I became a broadcaster. But if you ask Jamie Campbell and the guys that traveled with me and played with me, I was celebrating a suit way back in the early days. As soon as I could afford a custom-made suit, I was, shall we say, adorning myself in all kinds of colors and patterns and whatnot.
So pitchers and catchers are reporting, in 4 days. Before we talk about, get your take on the Blue Jays this year, I want to ask you, these early days of spring training, as a former catcher, what is accomplished between pitchers and catchers, that can't be accomplished during regular spring training? I guess it's just workload, right?
That's a great question. I mean, it just depends on whether or not you've worked together before or not. Because honestly, if you've worked together before, usually the relationship will pick up right where it left off, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
If you're new to one another, that's the perfect opportunity for catchers to sort of get the pitchers that they haven't been with before kind of on their team, kind of get them to fall in line, establish that trust and understanding. I give you a prime example. When I first came to the organization, I had my little spring training kind of time with Roy Halladay. I caught him a little bit in 04, but, that spring training time where you can have those quiet conversations before, during, after a bullpen session, that's when the trust is established. That's when you look at a guy, you say, where do I need to sit? How does he want the target presented? Where can I take this guy and where can't I take him? That's what happens prior to games, and you just kind of add to those experiences after the spring schedule starts.
Hey, Greg, when in these early days, I mean, we used to always talk about, pitchers are working, quote unquote, working on something in spring training. How often would a guy show up? How often would a pitcher show up and go, "Hey, Zahn, I've been working on this new pitch over the winter. I want to throw it to you now and see what you think about it." Does that often happen? And how hard is it to be honest with a guy when you go, "Yeah, that pitch, you may want to work on it again next winter."
Well, let me give it to you how it really goes down. Yes, it happens every year with almost every guy. They're always trying to get better, to be different, because especially the bullpen guys, because they're so predictable, it's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
They all come in with the best intentions, working on this or that, a two-seamer, a changeup, et cetera. But at the end of the day, when they can work on it all spring, and it could be going great, it could be a great pitch for them, as soon as they turn the lights on opening day and somebody punches them in the mouth and hits a bases-clearing double, they scrap it. It's gone. It's hilarious. They're creatures of habit. They repeat the same actions that have made them successful over and over and over again. And it's so funny how they're willing to fail like that, especially early on with a new pitch or with old stuff. They'll go back to the well over and over again. It's okay if I get beat with the slider. It's okay if I get beat with my fastball. But my new pitch, I can't get beat with.
Every spring, somebody shows up everybody shows up in the shape of their life all the time, but every spring somebody shows up and, my God, their body's undergone a transformation. I remember Vernon Wells showing up one time, lean as can be, telling everybody about this new Pilates program, this new yoga program he was on. He blew his hamstring out not even two days into spring training. As someone who has been around a lot of these spring training, these camps, Greg, what do you look at when a guy walks in, you know, when a guy walks into the clubhouse and you know, you see a guy and maybe he's put on a little extra weight, maybe he's lost a lot of weight, but what goes through your mind when you see a pitcher walk in and they've altered their body type?
It depends on whether or not they were having a lot of success before.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen guys who were pear-shaped players go on a supermodel diet and come back the next year and completely lose their fastball. Brett Cecil comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy who decided to go ahead and lose a whole bunch of weight. He came back, he looked great, and then all of a sudden he comes back and he doesn't have his fastball.
Right.
It depends. Everybody's different. You know, some guys need a workout regimen. Some guys don't. Some guys are better. I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. didn't start lifting weights until towards the end of his career. Here's one of the most prolific home run hitters in the history of the game who never lifted weights. He subscribed to the old school theory that weights got in the way of a baseball player. Vernon Wells, I don't know how much working out he did, prior to his 200 hit season when he was, popping 30 bombs and,
mm-hmm.
and getting, people are just built a certain way. There are certain people that benefit from, a physical fitness change, a change in ideology. And then there are other people, that don't benefit from it. I look at the way the game is today with all the Red Bull and all the emphasis on physical fitness and core strength and all these things. And you look at how many obliques, how many
yep.
abdominal strains there are in the game. And you just have to kind of laugh and think there's got to be a fine line. I mean, the people tell me, 13% is about where a baseball player should be because you need that cushioning. You need that body fat.
Mm-hmm.
And I always giggle and tell people you can't pull fat.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true.
Have a cheeseburger.
That's great. In conversation with Greg Zahn. Shifting focus to the Blue Jays as they go into spring training. A lot of people are looking at this team, Greg, and I think there's two points of view. One, they might even be a better offensive team because there are some players who can improve their offensive production, and who knows how a motivated Edwin and a motivated Jose, who knows if their seasons may in fact not end up being better. But then there are a lot of people who look at the starting rotation and have some serious questions about where all those innings are going to come from, the innings they lost when Mark Burley left, even the innings that David Price gave them after he was acquired. What's your concern about this team going into spring training?
My biggest concern with the pitching is the fact that they've got five fly ball pitchers in the rotation in the home run ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect everything to go as perfectly for Estrada as it did last year. As far as, chewing up innings, I look at guys who get 200 innings, and they're there in two categories. They either get 200 innings because they're really good, or they get 200 innings because their team needs them to get 200 innings. We had a guy, I played for the Royals. We had Jeff Suppan. He was our quote unquote number one. He could get 200 innings because he had to. It wasn't because he was giving us seven and a third quality innings every time he went out there. And that's why, the whole innings pitch thing, just because a guy gives you 200 innings doesn't mean it's quality. It doesn't mean it's awesome. I mean, at the end of the day, do you really want, you're going to need somebody to give you 200 innings and pitch you a 500 record when you, 13, 14 ball games. But if you want to get over the hump, you better have somebody that gives you 200 innings and goes, 16-4.
Right.
19-5, whatever, 20-6. You're going to need that guy too. The whole, on base percentage, innings pitched, all that kind of stuff. You have to put it into perspective. You have to give it some sort of reference. I look at the guys they brought back. They bring back Hap, got to be better than he was before. They bring back Chavez, got to be better than he was before. Part of it has to do with where they were pitching, Seattle, Oakland. Anybody can get hot for a month, with regards to Hap down mm-hmm. the stretch for the Pirates. But I saw it. He pitched well. But Jay Hap is what he is. He hasn't changed much. He's lowered his arm slot a little bit, but he's still a guy that pitches high in the zone. Still going to give off a lot of fly balls. And as a consequence, he's going to give up a lot of home runs in the Rogers Center. The key is going to be throwing strikes, getting these guys to not give up too many walks. The good news is they strike out a lot of guys. Estrada does. When Dickey's on, he's striking out a whole bunch of guys. Chavez can be sneaky. Jay Happ can get a lot of punch outs. They're going to need to strike a lot of guys out. Stroman, I'm still kind of up in the air on him. I don't know what we're going to see from him. I don't know where he's going to go with his stuff. His fastball command is going to have to get better. It's a better team on paper, Jeff, than it was this time last year, February 17th, I guess, is the date today. It's better. This is a better roster. Mm-hmm. On paper, these guys are poised to have a better year. And you know what? Let's not kid ourselves. You know, I said last night on the Tim and Shit show, I mean, it may not be, it may not be in the best interest for everybody to do the emotional knee-jerk reaction thing and give Edwin and Jose multi-year extensions. They're already 10-5 guys. Mark Shapiro is already hamstrung to some degree with two players on a 25-man roster that he has absolutely no control over whatsoever. If this team doesn't have a good record going into mid-July, he can't move these players right. without their permission. You know, Jose's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're better than they were last year this time. I'm excited about spring training. I think everybody should be really excited about it. And if everybody goes out there and just does like 75 to 80% of what they did last year across the board roster wise, and they can avoid some major injuries, they'll be fine. They'll be absolutely fine. And they'll be relevant in the latter parts of the season.
You know, one of the guys who could answer a lot of questions as far as the starting rotation goes is Drew Hutchison. If Drew Hutchison comes back at all and is a different guy than he was last year, What would you be looking for early in spring, whether it's in workouts, live BP, or even games that you know would tell you that Drew is maybe on the way back? What does he have to do early to convince John Gibbons and everybody else that he can still be a viable part of this team?
I honestly don't think it matters to be, you know.
Okay.
Because when I look at where Drew Hutchison is on the depth chart, for me he's number 7.
Okay.
Because if something happens, if there's an injury, in my opinion, they're going to go right to Aaron Sanchez as the fifth guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at Sanchez as your sixth guy. I'm looking at Hutchison as the seventh. He can come out, but to answer, in a perfect world, Hutchison comes back this year. He cleans up his mechanics. He's not stepping so far across his body, or he's lowered his arm slot to account for the fact that he steps across his body. He's throwing a lot of strikes with his fastball. You remember, you can picture it. It clears a bell. When he's on, he is absolutely dotting I's and crossing T's with that heater down and away from right-handed batters with that crossfire action. I'm not a huge fan of the crossfire, especially from where his arm slot is. But if he's throwing strikes with his fastball, all the rest of the stuff was fine. It all worked off of the heater. But as I said, everything's going to have to happen perfectly for Drew to even make this team. I see Drew as a guy who probably ends up getting traded at some point during spring training, unless, of course, the Jays have a major injury like they had with Stroman last year. I don't see him coming out of the bullpen. Right now, he just doesn't throw enough strikes for me.
Right. He almost seems like a classic change of scenery guy, doesn't he?
Yep. You know what? And I wouldn't be surprised if he did get his change of scenery, found a pitching coach that he, you know, that might be maybe, you know, bringing a different message, a different thought process, even just saying the same thing in a different way where the light bulb comes on in his head, because the kid's got off the charts makeup. He's a competitor. I love his stuff. And I think he's going to be a heck of a pitcher someday if he can ever get it all clicking. But I don't know if everything's going to have to go perfectly for him in order to be on this Blue Jays team opening day, I think.
So what do you do with the leadoff spot, Greg?
That's a great question. Right now, short of, you know, taking a guy like Hutchison, taking some surplus that you might have in the organization and trading for one, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I'm still a big believer that Troy Tulowitzki has got to hit in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't really. I mean, Donaldson 2, Bautista 3, Edwin 4, 5. It doesn't really make any difference who hits 4th, 5th, 3rd for me. Whoever's, you know, best suited for those kind of things. Whoever's best suited for all, you know, those spots is the guy. But, you know, Tulo's not a leadoff guy. He's not a leadoff guy. Need a high on base percentage guy to be the leadoff man. And they just don't really have one of those guys to give up that's not in the middle of their order already.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of people look at that situation, Greg, and they'll say, well, if Devin Travis comes back, or once Devin Travis comes back, you know, he might be the guy to do it. But, man, that's a lot of, you know, waiting around for a guy who's played, what, 60 major league games. That's, as good as he was at that position, You know, I'm almost thinking I want to have another option there just in case.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not convinced. I'm convinced he's talented. I'm convinced that he's got the ability to be a great player, but I'm not convinced he's a leadoff guy. Pilar swings too much. He doesn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
The on-base percentage isn't high enough. They just don't have that prototypical guy. And a lot of people think that Ben Revere was that guy. Don't be fooled by the fact that the guy got 180 hits. The guy had a really low on-base percentage. And for a guy who had 180-plus hits back-to-back years, stole 50 one year, he's done. He still hasn't scored 100 runs.
Yep.
He still hasn't even driven in 40 runs.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't, with all those hits, he doesn't drive in any, and he doesn't score enough. So he wasn't your prototypical leadoff guy either, because he didn't get on base enough.
Last question before I let you run. The closer's position, still Roberto Osuna, or do you want to see Drew Storen in that role?
No, right now, unless they're going to make Osuna a starter, which is what I think he is, he's the closer opening day. I mean, honestly, the kid did a great job. He came out of nowhere, stepped up for the organization. He wants the job. To me, it's his to lose. Storen, Sanchez, whoever, all those guys are going to have to slot in behind him. And, you know, if he falters, obviously they pull the plug on it. But here's the question. If he starts the year as the closer, and he fails, he falls on his face, and you give the job to Storen, and then what do you do with Osuna?
Yeah. I mean, you almost have to send him to the minors and stretch him out.
Yeah, I would. If I was the Jays right now, I would be stretching Osuna out just in case. I would want to see Osuna pitching two innings every time he went out there, just in case I need to stretch him out.